Good evening. It is wonderful for us to be able to gather on this holy, holy night as a church family and as a community of faith to once again understand and accept the gift that God has given us. What a special night this is. Please stand, if you would, for our call to worship. Emmanuel, God, You are with us. We have caught the notes of an angel's song. Tonight, we have come to be with You because You have come to be with us. We seek a Messiah who will reign with justice.
And You, who are the weakest and strongest, the most humble and the most high,
and now we may find ourselves. Now we may love each other. Now may we truly worship You, crying aloud with the heavenly host, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to all men." Amen. And please be seated, and we will have a special treat with our choir and our children, and we have some special music that they'll be playing for us.
She doesn't have her music. Is yours on this?
Yeah.
Tonight is the night for which we have been waiting. The Advent wreath is complete with the Christ candle in the center. For to unto us a child is given. Unto us a Savior is born. And the order of the world will be upon his shoulders. With the birth of Christ, our lives are centered, focused, turned toward God. We light this candle because Christ is the center of our lives. Let us pray. Dear God, who comes to us in Jesus, on this night as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, let the power of Christ come into our hearts, that we might find peace with you forever. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 245, the First Noel, verses 1 and 2.
First reading comes from first chapter of Luke, verses 26 to 35. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. He went in and said to her, "Rejoice, you who enjoy God's favor. The Lord is with you." She was deeply disturbed by these words and asked herself what this greeting could mean. But the angel said to her, "Mary, do not be afraid. You have won God's favor. Look, you are to conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you must name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his reign will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "But how can this come about, since I have no knowledge of man?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will cover you with its shadow. And so the child will be holy, and will be called the Son of God. And I tell you this too, your cousin Elizabeth, also in her old age, has conceived a son. And she, whom people called barren, is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary said, "You see before you the Lord's servant. Let it happen as you have said." And the angel left her.
Next hymn is hymn number 230, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Stand if you're able, please.
Our second reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 56. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servants. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever."
My original intent was to have us stand for one hymn and sit for the other, but I don't know how we can sit for this next hymn, so please stand for hymn number 246, "Joy to the World."
Third lesson is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now it came that at this time Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be made of the whole inhabited world. This census, the first, took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. So Joseph set out from the town of Nazareth in Galilee for Judea, to David's town called Bethlehem, since he was of David's house and line, in order to be registered together with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Now it happened that, while they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to a son, her firstborn. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Let's remain seated, if we would, for our next hymn, hymn number 219. "What Child Is This?"
The fourth lesson is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. In the countryside, close by there, were shepherds out in the field, keeping guard over their sheep during the watches of the night. An angel of the Lord stood over them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. Look, I bring you news of great joy, a joy to be shared by the whole people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and here is a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And all at once, with the angel, there was a great throne of the hosts of heaven, praising God with the words, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth for those he favors."
Let us remain seated for the first verse of hymn number 218. "He Came Upon a Midnight Clear."
Our fifth lesson comes from the second chapter of Luke, verses 15 through 20. "Now it happened that when the angels had gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this event which the Lord has made known to us.' So they hurried away and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw the child, they repeated what they had been told about him, and everyone who heard it was astonished at what the shepherds said to them. As for Mary, she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as they had been told."
Let us stand for our next hymn, hymn number 240, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Thank you.
Our sixth lesson comes from the first chapter of John, verse 5 and 9 through 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through all things came into being, not one thing came into being except through him. What has come into being in him was life, life that was the life of all people. And life shines in the darkness, and darkness could not overpower it. The Word became flesh, he lived among us, and we saw his glory. The glory he has from the Father as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Let us remain seated for our last hymn number 217, Away in a Manger. This afternoon, I was very busy trying to take care of last-minute errands and running around, and I was thinking in some ways of how different this Christmas Eve was for me than in years past when all of my family had gathered together, thinking of my dad, thinking of my daughter, my new granddaughter, and for a moment felt a little sad for myself, and at the same time I realized I am so grateful and blessed for us to come together, my family, new friends and old friends and friends yet to have, to pause for a minute in this time of the year to be together. Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, protect me from me and hide me behind the cross. May the words that I speak this evening and the thoughts that we together share be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Amen. The Christmas story begins in darkness. At that point in time, in that time of Israel, there was darkness of oppression. For God's people were a conquered people. They were a beaten and defeated people. And there was a darkness of persecution. Indeed, it was a despised universal taxation that brought all the participants in the story together on that Christmas Eve. There was a darkness of disillusionment. There's an ever-increasing number in that time who felt that violence, not faith, was the most effective path. Yes. On that first Christmas, the mood was one of despair and resignation. And thus it was then, and all too often it is now. At times we too live in a world of darkness. There are wars and rumors of wars. There's still hunger and unemployment. racism, loneliness, and at times a sense of emptiness. Perhaps the poet Robert Frost worded it best when he wrote, "I have been acquainted with the night. I have walked in the rain and out of the rain. I have been acquainted with the night." I don't have to tell any of you about darkness, because in one form or another, at one time or another, it has touched the life of each of us here. We have all been acquainted with the darkness. So we don't come this evening here naively to deny the existence. Nowhere in Scripture do we receive a pep talk and an argument that things aren't really as bad as they seem. Rather, it affirms that the darkness is real and it is present. But what it also affirms is that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. The prophet Isaiah wrote that people who walk in the darkness have seen a great light. And John's gospel records, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Thus we come together this evening to sing again the words, "Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light." You know, history records for us a very interesting footnote. It was during the dark winter of 1864, is at Petersburg, Virginia, the Confederate Army of Robert E. Lee faced the Union divisions of General Ulysses S. Grant. The war was now 3.5 years old, and the glorious charge had long since given way to the muck and the mud of trench warfare. Late one evening, close to Christmas, one of Lee's generals, Major General George Pickett, received word that his wife had given birth to a beautiful baby boy. Up and down the line, the Southerners began to build huge bonfires in celebration of that event. And these fires did not go unnoticed in the northern camps. And soon a very nervous General Grant sent out a reconnaissance patrol to see just what was going on. The scouts returned with the message that Pickett had a son and that these were, in truth, celebration fires. It so happened that Grant and Pickett had been contemporaries and classmates at West Point at one time, and they actually knew each other well. So to honor the occasion, Grant also ordered that bonfires be built on the northern side of the line. Can't you imagine what a peculiar night that was? For miles on both sides of the line, fires burned. No shots were fired. No yelling back and forth. No war being fought. Only light, celebrating the birth of a child. But it didn't last forever. Soon the fires burned down, and once again the darkness took over. The darkness of that night and the darkness of war. But the good news for us at Christmas is that in the midst of a deep darkness, there did come a light, and the darkness has not overcome it. It was just not a temporary flicker. It's an eternal flame. We need to remember that there are times in the events of the world and in the events of own personal lives that we feel that at times that light could be snuffed out. But the Christmas story affirms that whatever happens, that light still shines. You know, the ancient Hebrews, the ancient Jews were afraid of the darkness. They were particularly afraid of an outer place that they called a Sheol, an outer darkness. To them, creation began when God said, "Let there be light." To them, where there was only darkness, there was void and emptiness. So what great meaning and hope it must have been for them when they heard Christ refer to himself as the light of the world. You know, we need to hear those familiar words at Christmas. We need to hear them as families. We need to hear them in our nation, state, and community, because over across this nation and the world, there are people who at times feel that there is still darkness. It's real. But because of Christmas, it will never get so dark that you cannot see the light. Into the darkness, God sent us an eternal light. As you walk outside this evening, notice that the darkness does not intrude upon the light. On the contrary, it is the light that intrudes on the darkness. Light is always stronger than darkness. And the forces of light are always stronger than the forces of darkness. The greatest need, I think, in our mixed up and confused world these days, the greatest need is to let people know that there is hope. That life is worth living no matter what. That there is no need for discouragement beyond despair. In Christ Jesus, we cling. We cling to the hope and the knowledge that life overcomes death. That love conquers hate. And that truth will prevail. We are the people of light. And we must share that light in a dark world. Why do you think that God chose a star to guide the wise men to the stable? I am convinced it was not by accident. It was an eternal reminder to them and to us that in a sea of darkness, it is light that keeps us going forward. It is the light of hope. It is the light of Christ that leads the way and dispels the gloom. It's my prayer for each and every one of you tonight. For all of those that you love, for all of those that you care for, and those who cannot be with us this evening, and it's my prayer that the light of Christmas will shine and enlighten the dark corners that you may have in your life, and that you too will remember and know, rediscover that pathway to Bethlehem. There is no better gift. We can receive or give. Let us pray. Let us hear, O God. The holy time has come. We begin the cycle of Christ's birth and life and death and resurrection. Father, forgive the sins and the self-preoccupations that we have had that have marred our coming to this hour, to this night. Take away all thoughts and cares and ambitions that would now prevent us from truly understanding Emmanuel. Help us to enter this moment freshly, with full hearts, remembering how important it is to the whole world. Let the spirit that came into the world that night so long ago now enter our own spirits, converting them to its way and its will. Take away all fear, all hesitancy, all distraction. Enable us to enter into the Holy of Holies with you, to sense your presence so vividly that it will leave our lives changed and renewed. When we read about angelic choirs, let us truly hear them. When we read about lowly shepherds coming to view the Holy Child, let us see the scene. Let us actually feel the air of that stable. rank with the smells and sounds of cattle and warm with the fact of a human birth. Help us to bring our real selves to the experience in order that the experience may be so real to us. Let the holy birth quash all thoughts of buying and ripping presents, sending and receiving cards, taking part in all the festivities. May the experience itself be the thing. Let our participation in it transform who we are so that we may enter your kingdom. And then let us follow the star we have seen till we arrive at all those decisions and modifications of our existence that you desire for us, because you know they are best for us. Father, for yours are the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all God's people said, amen. But we now come to that part of our service this evening which for many people is so part of the Christian experience. My prayer in this is that we do this in a way that nobody burns. So, just a couple of things as we go through this. Our ushers will come up and I will light their candles, and they will go down side of each aisle and light that person's candle. When it is time for you to light yours, turn yours to theirs and keep theirs straight up, then hold yours straight up for the next person to light theirs. If you have children with you, they want to light theirs for them. You'll now have the lighting of the candles. As we do this, as we have a light of our candles, we'll stand and sing Silent Night. Let your body be the stable. Let your heart be the manger. Let your life be like the child's. And with the blessing of the Father upon you and the Spirit that goes before you and Jesus who lives within you, go and let those who are in darkness know the light cannot be extinguished. Merry Christmas.